Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Hello again. Welcome to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. My name is Brian Hess. I'm here with Noah Chant.
Hi, good morning.
How you doing?
Good. Doing well.
Good.
Great morning.
You look rested?
Yeah. Yeah, just got us in the... I like how you led me in on that one. us and the all the guys on our staff, we're doing two kind of separate times to break away and just be together as a staff, men and women, and just spend some time just being together and resting and hanging out and building community in those relationships. So we just got back from a couple days up, staying at a place and just relaxing and hanging out and doing a whole bunch of nothing, which is sometimes the best.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to get away and play a couple of games, watch a couple of movies.
Yeah, just hang out, you know, do a little, everyone reading their Bible, seeing who can go the longest. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, just hanging out. And I think, you know, we have such a unique vocation where relationship plays such a greater role often than other vocations.
Yes.
And so you kind of, you know, you want to always set aside time for things like that.
Yeah. We don't treat our church like a business.
No.
We treat it more like a family.
Yeah, well, we treat like the church treated the church, which I know is weird.
Right, it's bizarre.
But we just don't, we don't operate like a business, never will.
Yeah.
And so, you know what I mean? And so it's, but it was fun. We had a good time.
Yeah.
Great time. It's weird. You feel rested, then you also, because you're out of your routine, you're also a little groggy.
Right.
So you like, you kind of have to rest a little bit. Like, I got back last night and I told Bailey I felt bad, but like, Benjamin needed to go down for a nap. So we just napped together for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm tired.
Yeah. I passed out in the bed yesterday.
Yeah.
I was reading and all of a sudden I was just like, whoa.
Yeah, going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was fun though.
Yep.
Good time.
So, let's go ahead. We've been kind of piggybacking off of your Sunday messages.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do the same thing. So, yesterday, you got into talking about equipped sons.
Yeah.
And we've been going through, you've been talking about, you know, the teaching set you've been on is what is it that we want to become as a church, and what is it that we want people to experience when they come and visit?
Right. Yeah. Or an experience in us even outside of the building
as
people.
Maybe you work with somebody at BeLove. What is the kind of person that you want them to experience?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or at the grocery store or wherever.
Right.
Yep. And so we've talked about people of prayer.
Yep. Company of prayer.
Company of prayer. We've talked about a house of worship.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going to get into equipped sons.
Yep.
Great.
Yeah. It's been exciting. I think there is, and we've talked about this, and I even talked to the staff about this. And I hate that people have to define it this way, but it's just the truth. We have a discipleship model church,
mm-hmm.
you know, which means that we lean in to discipling people first above, you know, in the sense of our gatherings are centered around ministering to the heart of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And in the sense of our church as a whole, BeLove Company, because we're not Sunday centric,
mm-hmm.
Our focus is discipling people.
Right.
And so that is, it's unfortunately being called a church model. It should, in our opinion, be every model.
Mm-hmm.
And it is it's a challenging one in today's world because most of the time, we lean further into, as a church, the lost.
Right.
Like as a church body.
Mm-hmm.
When really the lost is the responsibility of the believer,
mm-hmm.
not the church.
Sure.
Which I know is scary,
yeah.
but it's the truth. And so as a church, our job is to equip, disciple, train, and be a resource and a resting place for believers.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean we kick sinners out, but it's not the way the church was designed. Mm-hmm. It was designed for believers.
Right.
And so our main focus is to equip people and disciple them in the mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or as Paul would say like this, that the church is built upon the apostle and the prophet. mm-hmm. built to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Right. That's how Paul would describe it.
Yeah. And that's Ephesians 4, is that right?
Ephesians 4, yep.
Yeah. So the equipping of the saints. What would you say, because you said, so Paul says that it is the responsibility of the fivefold ministry to equip the saints for the works of ministry. Can you talk a little bit about like the works of ministry?
Yeah. So when he talks about that, he talks about, you know, the apostle and the prophet, and then they kind of bring in the fivefold, and they talk about these grace gifts. And the idea of the fivefold, and everyone with their grace gift, that they would impart their grace on others.
Okay.
And what happens is now a person, if a church has a strong understanding of how the fivefold works, and that's real churchy language. Mm-hmm. You know, your pastors, your leaders, all those people, mm-hmm. prophetic people in your church, if you have a strong awareness of those people and they're leading well and they're teaching well and they're discipling well, you should kind of carry a piece of all of them.
Sure.
That when you're out in society and you're out in your world, you are able to tap into the deepness of your well and their wells that they've poured into you, mm-hmm. and be able to be Jesus to people around you. That's how the church grew.
Right.
You know what I mean? I love, there's this great analogy that Chris Vallotton uses, and it's been really interesting because he said a lot of people have often told me that I very much feel apostolic. Like, you feel so apostolic, you know, you carry a lot of apostolic anointing. Mm-hmm. And Chris is always like, well, I'm a prophet. It's like, well, maybe you're the, you know, Bo. And he's like, no. He said, what you don't understand is I'm just in deep relationship with someone who is called to that office.
Right.
And so he gave the analogy of, if I owned 1,000 acres and you asked if you could have like the far right 10, and I'm way out on the left, mm-hmm. and you built a house on the far right, and you said, hey, I have no water. Let me tap into your well and have water for my house. Well, anyone that comes to Brian's house now would think that they're just getting Brian's water.
Sure.
But really, they're getting mine.
That's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the idea of the church model and the idea of leadership and apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and everything is to, when you walk in the door, let's minister to the heart of the Lord first and foremost. Then let us equip you, train you, and impart on you the grace in which we carry, mm-hmm. so that when you are out in society in your circles of influence, you begin to influence people for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. When you sit under an apostolic authority or anointing, you begin to see the city from a blueprinting perspective, the larger picture of the kingdom. When you sit under a good, strong prophet, you begin to, you know, act more in the prophetic with people around you, ministering to people, you know, prophesying to people, mm-hmm. you know, same thing with a teacher and teaching people and having a good working theology for what you believe, right? This is the job of the church. Mm-hmm. And the hard part about the church is we have moved into the phase of predominantly being about the lost in our gatherings.
Right.
And because of that, people are limited to a certain amount of information because we're also trying to win the lost, which means, and I hate to use this term, but I don't know another one, people's spiritual IQs and their equipping is very small. Mm-hmm. Because what we're trying to do is get people saved when that's never been the model of the church.
Right.
The model of the church was you go get people saved. Mm-hmm. And then when they need understanding about the depth of this, and they need to be in community and fellowship and family, you bring them into the church.
Right.
And we take over from there, mm-hmm. you know? And so there's kind of been this flip flop where, you know, people want to lean into the event, like the evangelistic missional side of church, which is not a bad thing. And it's not done out of malice, mm-hmm. but the reality is the church is for the saint. But the church is for the believer to hopefully equip them enough. And the problem that most of the times we are facing, I think, with deconstruction and people who are in the who are deconstructing deeply is that they got saved in the church and they kind of stayed there, mm-hmm. In their faith. and never really left that realm.
Right.
And so, you know, we talked about the idea of being equipped sons and daughters is the idea and concept that you are supposed to here be becoming something more like Jesus so that you can go do the work.
Yeah.
And that's a hard pill to swallow for people because most people, like the old thing was just inviting. When I was a kid, you said invite an unsaved loved one to church.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And that's just not the model.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what's hard about this too is that, you know, we talk about a little bit, you and I do, we talk about just the church in America and I think what we're lacking and what we need. Mm-hmm. And the church model that you're describing is one that requires responsibility.
Yeah.
That it kind of removes the ability to just passively attend.
Right.
With no responsibility. You know, which is the way it's, which is the way
just
it's meant
come
to be.
And even, you know, and we've had these discussions, even the idea of salvation and getting people saved, like someone to come and sit under a message for 40 minutes that maybe not even really be about like the gospel message per se.
Right.
And then go, does anybody here want to accept Christ? It's like, well, what does that even mean? Right. What does that mean now?
Yeah.
That means nothing to me.
Right.
And often we like to, in Christendom, put the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. And really, like, we have to give people a working idea of what they're going to believe. Mm-hmm. Because it's really meant to change you.
Right.
Like, when I understood really what baptism was, I thought, well, I didn't know that when I got baptized. And you feel robbed.
Sure.
And when you get this understanding of this going in as one person and literally coming out of the water as someone new,
yeah,
it's different. Mm-hmm. And there's all these things that we're just unaware of because it's been this simplicity of, well, just get saved, man. Don't worry about it.
Right.
You know, just raise your hand. And oftentimes they don't even say the prayer. They just repeat after whatever the person preaching is saying.
Yep.
So they're not even saying their own prayer in their own salvation.
Well, I think for a first-time believer, you wouldn't know what to say.
Right. Because you've really never been taught anything.
Right.
You sat under one thing for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's just, and it's not, like I said, I don't say these things as critical of leaders or how people have done church. I only say it from the place of, I feel if we were to look at the body as a whole, we would be wildly aware at people's lack of spiritual intelligence and their lack of true conversion of their heart and their mind. Mm-hmm. And that has often come out of, they don't really know.
Right.
They don't really know.
And this is why I think we want to do some things differently as a church, because if we've got a body of people with very low spiritual intelligence, that falls on us.
It does.
At the end of the day.
Yes. Yeah. And I will never, like, you know, we don't have a model even that's personality driven. Mm-hmm. And so my hope is not to be on Channel 11 in the mornings on Sundays. Like, I will never influence everyone. Mm-hmm. And you will never influence it, you know, but at the end of the day, if we can take our people and equip them and prepare them and teach them and disciple them and help them look like Jesus, they can change an entire city.
Yeah.
Not for Beloved, for the kingdom. And so it's a hard thing because people don't understand that the idea is, no, we're here to make you like Christ.
Right.
That's our goal.
So that you can make your spheres of influence like heaven.
And then people will want to be like Christ. And then you won't even have to do the weird, let me talk to you about Jesus thing.
Right.
People will become naturally aware of the difference of who you are.
Right. Your life is different.
Yes.
Your marriage is different.
Yep.
Your family, you have joy and peace. And
the way you talk, the way you think about money, the way you think about the economy, the government, whatever it is, will carry a different way about, a different aura. Mm-hmm. You know, and the hard part is we, in a good way, we have a heart for the lost. But if I'll say it like this, the church right now has a heart for the lost, but they've never equipped their sons and daughters.
Right.
So if all we do right now is add more confused, almost orphans, then we're just adding to that number.
Right.
And there has to be some people groups that say, we're not loss driven. We have mission stuff we do. We have, you know, a fivefold evangelist in our house. We're working on local missions. We've done missions globally. Mm-hmm. We believe in it. I believe in, you know, getting the lost saved. I don't think that's not true. But if we don't actively work on fixing and helping those who are ill-equipped now, we're just adding to that number.
Right.
We're just adding to that. And that really doesn't fix the problem.
Right.
Because you can look at every social media prophet, evangelist, whatever you want to call them, and you can see a lot of the blind leading the blind.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't think it's intentional. I don't think it's bad. I don't think they're evil people.
Right.
I don't think they're doing it because they're bad. I think they're doing it because they genuinely love the Lord and they genuinely care.
Yeah.
They're just never really been discipled. That's not their fault. That's leadership's fault.
Right.
You know, that's leaders across wherever the board is. That's their fault.
Yep.
So we can't blame people for that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And this is language that we've used. But, you know, we're the Great Commission. Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples.
Yeah.
That the church has forsaken, I think, discipleship just for their pursuit of making converts.
Yes.
And so where Jesus says, go make disciples, we've said, well, we'll make converts. And then we'll make more converts.
Right.
And then more converts.
And more converts and more converts.
And more not converts. Really know what to do with those converts.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. It's like... It's like, you know what it's like? Being a Christian now is like being a member of a gym.
Sure.
Because you can say, well, yeah, I'm a member of Planet Fitness, but you go like twice a year. Like, yeah, I work out.
Yeah.
It's like, do you?
Yeah.
You know, like, and there's this reality of like, we're just, basically we're doing the same thing that a gym does and just saying, sign up here and pay your monthly fee.
Right.
We would call it tithe.
Right.
Pay your monthly fee, you're good to go.
Yeah. Like,
don't worry about the fine print.
Yeah. Come, don't come. We're chill.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't even have to worry about getting people saved. Just bring them to church. Just invite them. Here's this little card.
Yep.
Send them that.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, and like I said, those were never done out of anger or hate or evilness. But we are seeing a mass we're seeing a mass pulling away from the church in some areas. In some ways we're actually growing, but in some ways the church as a whole is seeing this pulling away of certain people. And it's because they were never grounded in their faith. They were either grounded in a church or a leader. And so they never saw themselves as a part of like the Big C church.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I think B-Love is amazing. But I know B-Love is not the Big C church, that we are just a part of that body, that greater thing. And our hope is to be a blessing and help that thing grow and that thing become more beautiful and more holy and more pure and more in the ways of the church that we see in the New Testament. And people often have never seen themselves as a part of the Big C church. They've just seen themselves as a part of their church. And I think it's great that, like, you know, like our people love B-Love, and I love that. I love my church. I think I have the best one in the world. Even if I wasn't pastoring it, you know, I think it's just the best group of people I've ever been around. And so there's a great thing about that, but the reality is you're a part of something bigger.
Yeah.
And this faith is bigger than that. And so if something were to crumble, like your church, your leader, your thing, you immediately go, I'm out.
Right.
Because everything is centered around this small thing. When there's this larger family and larger thing at play that you're kind of unaware of sometimes.
Sure.
You know? Because I'm so, like, I have so much blinders like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what makes us hard too is like we live in the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
And that guy, that's very different than, you know, let's say you have a church out in, I don't know, Seattle or California or even another part of the world.
New York, Boston, I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
More like secular based cities.
Right. So the issue we're facing is that we live in a place where everybody thinks they know what the gospel is.
Yes.
Because everybody's grandma took them to Sunday school.
Right.
And everyone has some history with church.
Yeah.
It's really hard to go out in Chattanooga and find somebody who doesn't have any history with the church.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Or an awareness of who, like there's such a, you have to have the nuance and awareness that when Paul's talking about, Jesus to people, he's talking about a figure they've never heard of.
Right.
Which means that he's not having to redefine someone.
Right.
He's helping people discover someone.
He gets to lay a fresh foundation.
Yeah, brand new thing, yeah. Which I would take all day long.
I would too.
All day.
Yeah.
It's way easier to learn than unlearn.
Yeah.
And so what we're facing, especially in our ecosystem of the South, is not people who are lost. Because we throw that term on anyone.
Right.
The lost in the Bible are people who have never heard about Jesus or the gospel.
Yeah.
And Paul's actually pretty dogmatic about people who have heard the gospel and don't want it.
Yeah.
He's not as friendly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know? And so there's this thing we're in where we are not oftentimes, you know, running into someone and they're like, who is this Jesus of Nazareth you speak of?
Right.
We're running into people who have been in church, no church, no Jesus, their grandmother, yeah. Like you said, their grandmother knew Jesus, and we're having to reshape something.
Yeah.
So when we think about the lost often, we think about people who have a bad understanding of the gospel, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But we have to be a people who know how to live out the gospel well to be a light for those people.
Right.
And that don't come by always everyone being in the same place at the same time. You know what I mean? It requires deeper discipleship of the people before them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's hard because, you know, when you read the New Testament, you're like, man, I'm just going to go tell everyone about Jesus. That's great. Mm-hmm. But most of those people have heard about Jesus.
Right.
Or they go to church.
Right. Yeah, it's hard when the people you want to tell about Jesus, they think they know as much as you do.
Yes.
And you just wish you could tell them, man, like if you knew him.
Right.
You wouldn't want anything else in the world.
Anything.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's not even a boastful thing of like, I have more knowledge than you. It's an experiential thing of like, I see the pain you're in.
Yes.
And you can't understand it because you're a believer. Like the Lord says, I'm supposed to be this, but I feel like this and it's painful. I'm in depression, anxiety. I deal with fear. I deal with doubt. I deal with all these things. It's like, if you could just understand the gospel.
Yeah.
It would change everything about you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much deeper than what we've made it.
Right.
But we can't get there because predominantly we're worried about the next person in the door as church leaders.
Yeah.
The next lost person.
Right.
How many salvations do I have?
Yep.
And really, I would rather celebrate all of our people in close relationship getting people saved than them bringing someone and us having to take a Sunday and get them saved.
We need to take a break. I actually just remembered a quote I heard about discipleship that I love.
Perfect.
And so let's take a quick break.
Cliffhanger.
And we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Are you in the market for top-notch packaging solutions? Look no further. Introducing Associated Packaging, your trusted partner in packaging excellence. We specialize in providing high-quality packaging supplies and cutting-edge packaging automation. Our team is dedicated to ensuring your production runs smoothly with our factory-trained service technicians, just-in-time inventory management, and turnkey packaging solutions. Say goodbye to costly downtime. With Associated Packaging, you'll maximize uptime and reduce downtime, boosting your efficiency and profitability. Don't compromise on packaging quality and efficiency. Choose API for all your packaging needs. Call us today at 706-459-9996. Ask for Chad Balistrieri or visit our website at www.associatedpackaging.com. Associated Packaging, where packaging excellence meets innovation.
So I remembered, and what's funny is I couldn't tell you who said this. I remember probably 7 or 8 years ago hearing a message on discipleship, and it was great. I don't remember who it was, but I remember this one quote stuck out to me, and it always has. And he said, you know, you read the book of Acts. He said, what you need to understand is we don't have the book of Acts because the Holy Spirit fell on a group of people. He said, we have the book of Acts because the Holy Spirit fell on a group of discipled people.
Oh.
And that is.
My goodness.
Yeah. And I remember hearing that and thinking, that's it.
That is it.
That's it. It's not just that the Holy Spirit came. It's that the Holy Spirit came on a group of people that Jesus had discipled and had walked with Jesus.
Yeah.
And they knew what to do with it.
Right. That is so good.
Yeah. I remember hearing that and thinking, that's it.
Yeah. People have their mind blown with that one on Sunday. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But and that comes back to just what we've been saying is that you can have a room full of, and it's hard to, we want to be careful because we're not saying don't go after the lost. We're not saying.
Don't bring people to church. Don't do it. We hate them. Don't bring them.
Such a hard tension.
It's a very hard tension.
Because we're not saying that.
It's a very hard, yeah.
We're just saying the church historically has done a very poor job at taking the people who have converted and turning them into disciples.
Yeah.
People who are actively becoming like Jesus and being equipped to do what he did.
Yeah, well, and I use this term Sunday. The church practiced open exclusivity.
Okay.
Which feels counter.
Yeah.
Open to everyone, exclusive to those who will do it.
Right.
And that's what the church is. It's open to all, but exclusive to those who will be sons and daughters.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's why when we use statements or we use signs like welcome home.
Yeah.
That's only true if you're a believer.
Right.
You belong here. Only if you want to believe in Jesus.
Do you believe in the gospel?
Yeah, because if you don't, you don't belong here.
Yeah.
You don't.
Right.
You know, the early church had very strict things. If you weren't baptized, you couldn't come to the gatherings and you couldn't share in the agape feast or the nightly meal.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't baptized, you weren't considered an actual full member.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing if you weren't catechized.
Yeah.
You know, and that came later, obviously. But like, if you weren't properly catechized, you weren't really a part.
Mm-hmm.
In the Catholic Church now, if you don't go through marriage counseling, they won't marry you.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a part of discipleship.
Right.
It's a part of the thing. And so the church practices open exclusivity where, of course, you can come.
Mm-hmm.
But you are going to have to become like us.
Right.
And that is the hard thing, is to create a space where all are welcome, but they must be aware of a strong sense of responsibility on themselves.
Right.
Anyone is free to come.
Mm-hmm.
From the rich to the homeless to the poor to the broken to the non-broken to the highest in society to the lowest.
Yep.
But the church is not going to transform into being something that you are or you want.
Right.
It's going to be what it is, and you have to become like it, like Christ.
Right. Yeah.
And that's hard because the current thing is come as you are, which not a bad thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, welcome home. You belong here. Here's another one. It's mind-blowing. You belong before you believe. I know places that have said that or used that like phrase. You belong before you believe. No, no, no.
I don't know where you're getting that.
No. That's not it. That's not true.
Yeah.
And it sounds cruel.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the truth of the gospel is, and the truth of Christianity is, you have to believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There are essentials to our faith.
Right.
You have to believe he was the Son of God. You have to believe he actually died. You have to believe he rose from the dead. You have to believe in the authenticity of the Bible. You have to, like, there's just essentials to this thing. And if you don't want to believe in those things, that's great for you, but you're not a part of this thing.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And that's hard for people.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean that we don't love people and work with them if they have those questions.
Mm-hmm.
That's where sometimes we can mess up as we say, well, screw you, you're out.
Yeah.
We have to say, okay, if you're dealing with some of this, let's work through this. Let's walk through this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure out where you're at in your faith.
Right.
But at the end of the day, with the understanding that the way you're thinking about this is wrong,
mm-hmm.
I'll work with anybody through any thought process, LGBTQ stuff, theology, tongues, supernatural, anything.
Mm-hmm.
From the place of when we get together, if I feel like you're wrong, you're going to know we're starting from the place that I think you're wrong.
Sure.
And it's hard because we're open, but we're exclusive. And so you want to tell people, invite whoever you want, but they need to be aware that it's to become like Jesus and become like the church, not us become like you.
Right.
And us form whatever we need around you to make sure you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we've talked about that. I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast, but we've talked about in staff meetings when I've taught in there, the idea of there's a difference between big churches and like what we would often call like mega church culture.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have a big church and it be a great church. Numbers are not evil.
Right.
It's the culture built around them.
Right.
And so we've talked about like the mega church structure, which is personality based,
mm-hmm.
Which is Sunday driven.
Mm-hmm.
And it is preference based ministries.
Right.
Right. And so like, we're never going to build things because we think it'd be your preference and you would enjoy that.
Right.
We're going to do what the Lord tells us to do. We're never going to be based on Sundays. They're not our Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They're not our big day. I don't wake up, you know what I mean, and it changed my whole existence because it's Sunday.
Yeah.
I do the same things. I eat the same meals. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And we're also not personality driven. We're not based off a person if that person's not the person of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so the hard thing is those three things often lead people to building their church ideas around their own personal self.
Mm-hmm.
And it loses all form of sacrifice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I remember, maybe we've talked about this, but you know, you look at Barna.
Yeah.
Who's got, they do all the research and they've got all the statistics on churches and, and like one of the reasons people would choose not to attend a church is they don't like the parking situation. That's legitimately, I'm not making that up.
I know, you're serious.
That's not.
This makes me want to retire.
I know, but keep that's going. like one of the top reasons.
Sure.
You know, they don't like the kids ministry or there isn't a kids ministry.
Sure.
Which like we believe in the value of kids ministry.
Of course.
But, and you and I've talked about this, but people don't, and what, we talk very generally. We're talking about the West. We're talking about the Bible Belt. We're talking about the American church.
Yeah, right, where we are. I can't speak to anywhere else.
We can't speak to what's going on in Africa because we're not
over there. Yeah, I don't live in Asia, and the underground church is doing a lot better than I am right now.
Right.
They have a lot more probably devotion than I even do, let's be honest.
Yeah, right. But I lost my train of thought there.
Talking about first parking, then kids.
Yeah.
You're talking about how like we do value those things, but...
Right, we do value those things, but at the end of the day, it's like you say, that we are going after what it means to be the church as we see it in the Bible,
yes,
as we see it in Acts.
Yes.
As the early believers, you know, they showed and they taught what it looks like to be this body of believing Jesus followers.
Yeah.
And like we're just not going to change that because you may not like that.
No. Now we will. Like, I will always be open to conversations that help our mission.
Yeah.
If our model needs moving.
Right.
I'll move our model because of our mission.
Right.
But I'm not going to change our mission to create a better model.
Yes.
I'm not going to change the structure so that you feel a little bit better about things. And so there is a hard balance and tension of those two things. But the reality is like, we have to do this thing where we, especially the church, we have to begin to influence culture, not imitate culture. I actually wrote about this the other day. We have to move into a place where we're not going, okay, here's what the world's doing. Let's make a Christian version. You know what I mean? You know, like they've got Netflix. We're going to have like Angel Videos, you know, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Like, we have to get out of imitating and we have to start moving back into innovating.
Mm-hmm.
Christians used to be the leaders in art, innovation, design, music, culture. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people still doing that.
Sure.
They just don't have to have their name on everything. But we have to do better about saying, like, we're going to create an innovative space that represents the Acts Church in the now.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. No one's going to put all their money in a pile. No one can meet at everyone's home every night during the week. I'm not unaware.
Yeah.
But we have to be innovative and not go like, well, I wonder like what they do at TED Talks.
Yeah.
Or I wonder what like goes on at a Tony Robbins event. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We have to be able to innovate and create a healthy space to equip and disciple people and make them like Christ while also mainly solely focusing on ministering to the heart of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're not doing. We're just imitating.
Right.
We're just doing, you know, soft imitations of this, and then we'll do it our way and then cuss at everyone for the way they're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Oh, those MTV awards are so disgusting. It's like, well, I mean, we just because we just don't have our clothes off doesn't mean we're not still using all the same ideas.
Right. Yeah.
We're just trying to attract people the same way they are.
Right.
We're just doing it a little bit more modestly.
Right.
So yeah. What's the difference here?
Yeah. I do love what you say. You know, when people, because people do go off on the unbelievers for doing unbeliever things. It's like, what do you expect?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Do we expect like sinners not to sin? How dare you?
Right.
You know, like you worship the devil. Yeah. Like, just because they're open about it now doesn't mean they're any worse than they were years ago.
Right.
You know, and like the idea that we're expecting like a predominant secular world to not be secular.
Yeah.
Is crazy.
Right.
And then the problem is not that they're that. The problem is we've become so non-influential. Yeah. They don't even see a need to change.
Right.
Because we look just like them.
Right. Yeah. It's easy to look at the culture and blame the culture.
Yes.
When in reality, the church has become so passive and so afraid.
Right.
Of you know, stepping on anybody's toes or offending anybody that we've lost all influence.
Yes. Like the end of depression and anxiety hopefully comes from a people group who aren't anxious and depressed. That is as much as the Holy Spirit as it is great, hopefully, biblical, spiritual therapy. I'm not saying those things don't play a role in it. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is just going to fix you tomorrow.
Right.
But hopefully with the combined use of like spiritual therapy and the combined use of discipleship and the church, like people hopefully need to see a people group that are not anxious and depressed.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll make people go,
Yeah.
Maybe we should.
I kind of want what you have.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys aren't sick.
Right.
What's going on?
Yeah.
You guys aren't upset that the economy's bad. Why?
Yeah.
But instead, we're angry at all the same things. We're just as bitter. Mm-hmm. We're just as anxious. We're just as depressed. We're just as mean. We're just as, we have just as the same bleak outlook on existence as they do.
Sure.
And yet we have the eternal promise of the kingdom. So why would I?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in my time of, in my mid-20s, in my time of deconstruction and more season of secular living, like the only thing I saw difference between me and all the Christians around me was that I got to have sex with whoever I wanted to, and they had to have sex with one person.
Right.
That was it. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah. Other than that, life didn't look too different.
Other than that, no real change.
Yeah.
They were just as complaining about money. They were just as depressed. They were just as this. They were just as that.
Yep.
There was no difference. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I guess I could do drugs and they couldn't too, but other than those two things, that was it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you go like, what are you offering me here?
Yeah.
Are you offering me to be just as bitter as you and wait till the end and know that there's a better ending?
Right.
Because I don't think that's what people are looking for.
No.
We talked about this with worship. People are looking for a city set upon a hill, a resting place from a weary existence. Mm-hmm. And because we're so lackluster in discipleship, everyone that calls themselves a believer doesn't look very different. Mm-hmm. And people aren't looking for people who have like fish logos on their t-shirts.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or like, I don't know, whatever some Christian cliche thing is these days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people are looking for people who genuinely look different.
Right.
And feel different.
Yeah.
Like you get around some Christians, man, like some really well-discipled people. They're different.
Yeah.
They are different people.
Yep.
Like I remember, you know, not to brag on you because you're not that great, but I remember like the first time coming like out of just a lot in a hard season of my existence, being around you and thinking like, this guy's different. And in one sense, I hate it and it's uncomfortable. But in another sense, I know I need it. Whatever, sure. Whatever Brian's got.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's, you get that with people. Mm-hmm. You're aware when someone's different.
Right.
They just have a difference about them.
Yep.
You know, and that is one thing I will say about like our family is we are starting to look different. Mm-hmm. And I know that because I've been around most of them for a lot of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm in deep relationship. We have a church of really deep relationship to people. Mm-hmm. And I think if people could look at themselves 6 or 7 or 10 years ago and now,
yeah,
they'd be floored at who they are in totally a great different. Way.
Yeah.
We, our people are incredibly active disciples. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard because we talk about structures of the church, but I don't often mean be love.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think we still need work like everybody else does. We're still changing. We still have, mm-hmm. you know, miles to go. But like, I do want people to see also like this does work.
Right.
We're not just talking about it and going like, maybe. No. Like, come look, come be in the midst. Mm-hmm. Examine yourself 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Listener of this podcast.
Yeah.
Examine yourself. Think of how you believed, how you saw the world.
Yeah.
How you thought about sin, how you thought about God, how you thought about theology, how you thought about
yourself. Yourself. Your circumstances.
Yeah, the world and existence. It's different. Mm-hmm. And so it works. It's just, it's getting people to realize that it is working because incremental change often is not seen through our own eyes.
Right.
If it's not big.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one wants to lose a pound a week for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to lose 40 pounds in 6 months.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's unfortunately just sometimes not the work of discipleship and formation.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of this stems back to what we talked about. I think we did 3 episodes just on spiritual maturity. Mm-hmm. And that takes time. Mm-hmm. And it requires intentionality. But unfortunately, it's just the nature that when somebody first comes to Christ or first discovers the gospel, they gain, you know, a certain knowledge or understanding, but that doesn't really take full effect right then.
Right.
It's something that has walked out over time.
Yes.
That we need to be discipled in. Mm-hmm. And our maturity happens over time.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things we're bumping up against is that
right.
we don't have people, we don't have a lot of church leaders right now, as it seems, who are wanting to create more mature disciples.
Right.
They're wanting, I think there are a lot of people who just want to see how many people they can get in the door.
Yeah. And we need time often to fix and help the people that are in this thing that are lost before we can sometimes bring in just more lost people.
Sure.
It's fixing your own problem. Mm-hmm. It's not a problem we didn't create as a church as a whole.
Yeah.
It's a problem we got to fix though, is getting people to a place where they can actually actively bring people into the kingdom and disciple them well. Mm-hmm. But no one's been discipled super well, it seems,
right.
overall.
Right.
I mean, there's tons of great churches that do it. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I'm not saying we're the only one either.
No, there are people who do it way better than we do.
Oh, man, way better than we do, probably.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but there is this place of we've got to help people see the fullness of this thing. Mm-hmm. We really do. And hopefully in doing that, they bring in people.
Right.
If Chattanooga's changed because our people look like Jesus and not because I crafted some well-designed message that just blew everyone's mind, fantastic.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep.
Awesome. And if only half the people that are changing Chattanooga come to Be Love and the other half go other places, fantastic.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But like our city does have to change.
Yeah.
And it has to look like Jesus.
Yeah.
And that comes from people who look like Jesus, not from great churches.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, before you can change a city, before you can take part in changing a city, you have to be a person who has changed.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of individuals who are undergoing this process of their spiritual transformation.
Right.
it takes a lot of those individuals and then coming together.
Yeah.
And becoming this body of people that life is just different for them.
Right.
And then the people around them start to notice.
Yes.
And they start to want that.
Yes.
And they say, why is your home such a place of peace?
Yeah.
Why are you so happy in your marriage?
Yeah.
What do you mean you don't watch pornography? What do you mean you don't cheat on your spouse?
Yeah. What do you mean you don't deal with any of these? What do you mean you don't have debt?
Yeah. Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, why aren't you depressed?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What do you mean? Like, yeah, there's just so many. You could go 1,000.
Yeah. Right.
What do you mean so-and-so got elected and you're not angry?
Right.
Well, because I'm not of this world.
Right.
I'm from somewhere else, technically.
Yeah.
Is that what St. Augustine would say?
Right.
It's just, yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
We have to become equipped sons and daughters, and we have to be a church that equips sons and daughters.
Yeah.
Something to be known for.
Yep.
Something beautifully to be known for.
All right. I feel good.
Yeah. This is fantastic.
Great.
Great as always.
So let's talk a minute. Let's talk just for a minute about what is it that we want people to be thinking about specifically, and even for our community group leaders. I do like what you said. Do an examination of your life over the past 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
And consider the ways that you've actually changed.
Yeah, how different. And realize this. The hard part of discipleship as a leader is discipleship is a two-way yes.
Right.
From the leader and the participant.
Yeah.
And so a church leadership group can have a discipleship model, and if you don't want to be discipled, it's pointless.
Right.
And so the question becomes, are you actively being discipled?
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to learn and grow? Or are you just doing this thing?
Right.
And that's something to examine even in your own community this week,
yeah,
as Beloved Communities, or as a person in general.
Mm-hmm.
Am I being discipled?
Yeah.
Do I care?
Maybe ask yourself, if you go to a church, why?
Yeah.
Why do you go to church? What is it you're looking for?
Yeah.
What are you getting?
Yeah. And if are you growing?
Right.
Are you a different person?
Right.
Do you have a working theology? Do you have a greater understanding of the kingdom of Jesus? Or
yeah.
Just can you dance in the spirit now?
Right.
Yeah. I'd say it's a good place to go,
yeah,
as communities.
I think so too. Okay.
Awesome.
Good. Well, to all our watchers and to all our listeners, thank you, and we'll see you next time.